Thank you. There is this one here that is not sure. You have come into faith in Christ Jesus, but you are teetering. And at a point of teetering, while you are here in this retreat, God's been speaking to you, and it's like you want to take one step forward, but you know it's going to end up taking three steps backwards. And you're teetering right now. You're just caught in that no man's land. And while everyone looks at you and they think that you are fine, that everything's going fine for you, but you know deep down on the inside of you, you're just cold. Tonight the Lord wants you to know. He knows you. He knows your number. He knows your email. He's concerned about you. So the Lord will say to you this day, embrace Him fully. Embrace Him fully. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Deeper in love with you, deeper in love with you, I love you more than anything.
More than anything in love.
Deeper in love with you,
with you,
deeper in love with you. Oh, how I. For all the Beijing guys. Sun, I need Jesus. Sun, I need Jesus. What I need. What I need. To men sun ming zong yi jie. Sun, I need Jesus. Sun, I need Jesus. Oh, what I need. Sun, I need. Sun, I need. Yes, sun,
I need. Yes,
what I need.
What I need.
长眠生命中一天. Sun, I need. Yes, sun, I need. Yes, oh, what. 我生命中只可做一件事，求你单单，求你用我全心全意，用我全力爱你，敬拜你，让你荣耀。
充满全地，深深爱你，深深爱你，耶稣，深深爱你，耶稣，我爱你，我爱你，照耶生命中一切，深深爱你，耶稣，深深爱你，耶稣，哦，我爱你
，Deeper in love。 Deeper in love with you, deeper in love with you. I love you more than anything in life. Deeper in love with you, deeper in love with you. Oh, how I love you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you more than anything in life. So, Father, tonight we commit this time into your hand. Do a special work, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to John chapter 21. And I'm just going to do the anointing service tomorrow, because I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Spirit, the provision of the Spirit for us before we leave. But tonight I want to talk about John chapter 21, a familiar portion of Scripture. And the other night, our worship leader, when he was leading us, he kind of made mention and he alluded, Hansu. Yes. And so Hansu made mention of John chapter 21. And as soon as he mentioned it, it was a confirmation that I need to preach this message either tonight or tomorrow. And I kind of just been wondering whether to do that or Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And so we'll do Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let me just say to the house group leaders, tomorrow I need your help, because we're going to form a prayer tunnel. And the pastors and I, we're just going to anoint you as you come, the rest of us, as you go through the prayer tunnel. Because I believe there's something that God wants to deposit into your life before we leave. But tonight I want to talk about John chapter 21. And the scripture begins that afterwards Jesus appeared again to his disciples. And I want you to notice this word, again to his disciple, by the Sea of Tiberias. And it happens this way: Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples together. And they came together and said, I'm going ship fishing. And the rest of them went with him. And we read this story. And let me ask you guys, is there something wrong with this story? Is there something wrong with this whole passage? I read this passage and something tells me on the inside of me, something is dreadfully wrong. You know, many of us would love to be, you know, we would love to live during the times of Jesus Christ. How many of you would say, I think it would be incredible, it would be wonderful to live during the times of Christ. How many of you would say that? Yeah. How many of you would think that it would be wonderful to be able to experience the resurrected Lord? Yeah. Now, I want you to think about this passage again. And it says, afterwards Jesus appeared again to his disciples. And then it tells us that the disciples decided to go fishing. Now, something radically, dreadfully, horribly, is wrong with this passage. I want you to know, by this time, Jesus had already appeared to his disciples four times on four other occasions. Now, think about it with me. If you existed during that time, and Jesus, who has died, buried in a tomb for 3 days, 3 nights, and then suddenly on Easter morning his body disappeared, and all of us are right now concerned that someone steal his body. And then that very day after that, Jesus appeared to you. What would be your reaction? What would be your reaction, man, Kenny? Sorry? Go tell the world. What else? What would be your reaction today? If Jesus would appear to you right now, you would be like, wow! You know, wow means wonders of wonders. Right? Isn't that right? If Jesus were to appear right now, physically, right here, and he comes and he walks with his white glowing robe, and he comes to you with his all the marks, and he says, I'm Christ. It will be wow, isn't it true? But something's wrong here. Do you see that something is wrong here? Jesus had appeared four times, and the word is, he appeared again to his disciples. But then after the experience, after the radical encounter, guess what the disciples went doing? They went fishing. Scratch your head, man. What's this? What is wrong with these blokes? Are these a bunch of clowns? What's wrong? Something is wrong, isn't it? The picture's not right. If you encounter the resurrected Christ, your life should forever be changed, radically transform, isn't it? But somehow, I just want to say here tonight, the encounter is not sufficient to take us into fulfillment. Listen very carefully. Just because you have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, just because you came to the altars last night, just because you've come for this retreat, does not guarantee that you will step into your fulfillment. That's all that I'm saying. Something must translate in our spirit. For those of you that will be living tomorrow, listen very carefully. It's got to take more than just an encounter with Jesus Christ, because the disciples experienced Him four times over, and yet they went fishing. Something is wrong. And so I want to talk about tonight. I feel it's important to lay this as a foundation, and then tomorrow let's experience the empowerment of the Spirit. But then for the 40 of you that will be leaving or so, I want you to understand and have this takeaway, so that as you travel, I want to pray that the Spirit of God will accompany you in a powerful way, because He lives in you. And I want to pray that as you travel back, whether by the ferry or by the road, you're going to fly back, whichever, I don't know which way you guys are going, but I'm just going to trust that as you leave here, something would have already began in your spirit, that you will feel Him, you will know Him, and that there will be an explosion of faith. Encounters do not necessarily lead to fulfillment. Why? The million dollar question is why? Why didn't it change then? It should change us. It should change us. Well, I want you to know, because we enjoy living in the encounters. If you just enjoy living in the encounters with Christ and not more than that, which is a lot of us Christians, a lot of believers all over the world just like the feeling. We like the experience in itself. And you and I can become so molded, so used to the experience, because the experience takes us to a high. Do you understand what I'm saying? My good friend in Singapore, who is actually a Canadian, who's right now living in Singapore, and Dr. David Lim, he talks about this. He talks about the sexual experience between a man and a woman. And as you come into that experience, it's a tremendous pleasure. Medical science have recorded that the same pleasure is received during worship. In a place of extreme, intense worship, we all feel the same experience of that intimate pleasure. And you and I can get so hooked up just living for that moment, for that pleasure. But it will never change you, because you get intoxicated just with the experience. So the encounters of God cannot just be merely an experience that you and I get so addicted with, because that itself does not change our life. The other reason why encounters does not necessarily lead to fulfillment, it's not just because we are so caught up in living in that encounter, but then that is also because we do not live intentional lives. We enjoy the experience here, but then after that, we don't walk out with intention, with purpose. That's why the disciples lost their purpose. That's why they went fishing and they caught nothing. Do you understand? If you just live for the experience and you don't walk out with a purpose, then you will catch nothing. You will end up walking in fruitlessness. You will not walk out with fruit-bearing lives. You will not walk with productive lives. You will not walk out with a breakthrough unction in your life. A lot of Christians I know enjoy the experience. They want to experience, but after that, they don't walk the life of intention. You don't walk out a life of mission. And when we do not live missional lives, and we only live life for that moment of pleasure, then that's the reason why many of us never walk into fulfillment. Do you understand what I'm saying? God has got greater things in store for us. But we are just happy with that little. It's like a little boy who was given lots, but he's just happy with that little toy gun. And he missed the whole world. God has got a lot more for us today. And so tonight I want to talk about, how do you turn encounters into fulfillment? How do you turn those encounters with God into a walk of fulfillment, so that your life produces the kind of fruits, so that your life carries the unction of God's breakthrough, so that your life is productive, so that your life becomes a message to the world. Amen. So number one, in every encounter, we must understand that there is a restoration and a reformation. The first thing we have to understand about the encounters with God is that in every encounter with God, whenever we experience the greatest pleasure of experiencing God, there is a restoration, and then comes a reformation in our lives. You see, in one way or the other, we are rebellious folks. We don't always obey Him. While we may be, even as preachers, while we may be walking with Him, but once a while we fall out. Once a while, you know, we just, the flesh comes in and we do something rebellious. And so in times of encounter, God comes and He affirms us. He affirms how much He loves us. And when God affirms how much He loves us, there is restoration. That's why in this encounter, you discover they catch no fish. And then Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. And lots of fishes. And then they realized it was Jesus. They came out, they came to shore. And immediately following that encounter, Jesus had fellowship with them, because Jesus created a fire with fish there. Where did the fish come from? We don't know. Because it sure didn't come from the disciples' catch that day. And then after the time of breakfast, after brekkie, Jesus basically turned to Simon Peter and says, Simon, do you love me? What was that? In that encounter, there's restoration. Jesus restores. In the encounters with God, we experience a restoration of our love for Him. We encounter a restoration of our faith in Him. God takes our pains, and then He redefines our pains into wisdom. Isn't it true? How many of you have prayed for wisdom? You know, how does wisdom come? It comes by pain. I stopped praying for wisdom a long time ago. I just say, God, educate me. Yeah. When a child puts his hands into the fire, they realize, ouch! Wisdom tells them never put a finger into the fire. So in times of encounter, we experience God's restorative love to restore us, to love us, to bring us back onto Himself. And then reformation of our lives takes place. There's a reformation. We feel that we want to do something for God. But that's where it stops. That's where it stops. So we first, in order to translate this, we must first understand what the encounter is all about. The encounter always restores us. God restores our love, He restores our faith, He restores our being, He takes the pain of our lives and He puts in wisdom, He takes from our pain and He puts in the provision of understanding, of insights. He brings revelation in the times of restoration, and so that reformation of our spirit begins to take place. That's why we feel strengthened. We feel that, yes, I can now conquer the world. That's what happens. And then now we need to understand how that needs to move on, because in every encounter, not only would there be the restoration and reformation, but in every encounter there is a mission that is being released into our life. God releases a mission into our life. In this passage, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, do you love me?" And Simon said, "Yes." And then Jesus gives him the mission statement, "Feed my lambs." "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And as soon as Simon Peter said, "Yes," restoration, reformation takes place. Jesus then released the next statement. Take care. There must be, so there's a mission. So understand that in the encounters with God, in order to translate it, then we must capture the mission. If we don't capture the essence of the mission, all that we walk off is the experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't be satisfied with the experience. Come to Papa God and says, "What can I do for you, Papa?" That's what it is. It's not just a proclamation, declaration. "Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you." But there must be the adequate response of, "What can I do for you, Daddy? Daddy, I'm available for your service. Here am I, send me." Then you start moving towards fulfillment. But if you only relegate that, dichotomize that to the experience of pleasure, then we miss the mission. Because God has a mission. Because the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, God has a plan for our lives. There's a plan to bless us, a plan to give us a hope and a future. In fact, the right Hebrew translation is, there's a future and a hope. The English translation says there is a hope and then a future. Isn't it? The Hebrew Bible says there is a future and then there is hope. When you have a future ahead of you, then hope begins to beat in your life. So God has a future, but that future involves a mission. That's why originally tonight, I want to teach you a song. Yeah, that has to do with a mission, and we'll do it tomorrow. Because I feel that you need to catch the sense of mission. What is the mission all about? What's the mission all about? The mission is all about fish. Everybody say fish. Yeah. Souls. That's what it is all about. That's why Jesus says, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." It's always about souls. If it's not about souls, then something is wrong. God will make you successful. God will prosper you. But what is the purpose of it? Souls. God will give you great facilities, but it is not so that you have nice buildings, but it's because of souls. That is why Jesus is interested about souls. That's why he asked Simon Peter, "Feed my lambs." Because Jesus died for all, isn't it? So technically, the loss belongs to Christ because he paid the price for humanity. So it is up to you and I to reach the rest of humanity, to bring them into the pen of God. That's what it is. So the experience, the encounter is so that we are restored. There is a reformation of our life to do the works of God. That's why Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has anointed me to preach the good news. That's what it is. The restoration and the reformation of God is so that you and I manifest His grace to those around us. That's God's mission. Don't ever lose it, SP. Don't ever lose it. Turn to the person beside you and say, "Don't lose it. Catch the fishes." Turn to the other person and say, "Don't lose it. Catch fish. You need to catch the fishes." God has placed you in a sphere of influence that Pastor Sam, Pastor Eugene, and the rest of the staff will not be able to reach. Only you have access to them. Yeah. You have access to them. Why? You see, Friends, listen, think about this. If the Christian life is about the experience with God and experiencing the pleasure of God, then why not God kill us the day we receive Jesus Christ? Yeah, if it's all about this great experience of love, yeah, die tonight, man, right now. And you enjoy it forever in His presence. Isn't it? So it cannot be just for the pleasure of the encounter. It's got us, we got to understand that in the pleasure of the encounter comes the mission of God that you and I now needs to take into our lives so that we bear much fruit, so that our life becomes a life of impact, so that we become history makers, we become game changers in the game of life. And that's what it is all about. It's always about fishes. That's why Jesus said, cast your net over to the other side so that they can catch fishes. It's always about fishes. Don't miss it. That's so important. Because if it's not about fishes, then it's not about anything else. Jesus came to die for a world. He left us to care for the world. That's what we need to do today. That's why I said to Pastor Sam, the current facilities is not big enough, man. You need a facility at least 5 times bigger than that. Yeah, serious. Trust me. I just come 1 year later and you guys have... If you guys keep going at this rate... How many of you love Pastor Sam? Let me see. Pastor Sam, love Pastor Sam. I want to say this to you guys then, seriously. If you love him, then you better start looking and praying for much bigger facilities. Because if you don't, this man will burn himself out just for you. Because he's going to end up doing many, many, many services on a Saturday and Sunday. And he's going to be dry. It will kill him. Trust me. He's not as young as he thinks he is. Stop. Ouch. I mean, we get up every morning thinking we're 18 years old, man. We get up every morning thinking we're going to win the world for Jesus. That's our passion. But if you guys don't start looking and praying, then you know what? Just think about it. If every one of you bring one right now, right here, if every one of you bring one right now, you guys will have to have 3 services in your current facilities just for growth momentum. You can pack a place, pack out. It doesn't work that way. After a while, people stop coming. And then if you guys continue to grow, you're going to end up 4 services, 5 services. Guess who is going to be preaching them all, man? This name. So if you truly profess you love your pastor, and if you truly believe in fishes, hey, that facility is no facilities for you. That's why in Singapore and Trinity, I'm not satisfied. I'm acquiring real estate, man, right now. I told the congregation last weekend, I'm looking for real estate. I'm looking for more land. I'm looking for more facilities. Because the church just needs to grow. And I can be preaching every week. Many, many services. It will kill me. Trust me. Yeah. There will be no work-life balance. Yeah. That's the way it is. So you guys got to recalibrate. Great to come into God's presence. And it's important to come into His presence. Because we all need the restoration of God. We all need the reformation of God in our life. But we also need the mission of God. So don't miss that. Number 3. In order to move encounters into fulfillment, we need to understand that in every encounter there is restoration and there is reformation. And yet in every encounter there is a mission release. And finally, in every encounter there's a call for dedication. In every encounter there's a call for dedication. John chapter 21 verse 20. Some Peter kind of got very frustrated and started asking the question, what about that disciples? And Jesus says, what is that to thee? If I wish that he tarries until I come, what is that to thee? Thou follow me. What is Jesus saying? Jesus said, you follow me. In fact, the NIV version says, you must follow me, isn't it? There's an emphasis there. It is a mandate. It is a mandate. If we are going to transform the encounters of God into the fulfillments of God for our life, then there must be a radical commitment to follow Christ. That's what I call a radical dedication unto God. You see, a lot of Christians enjoy the pleasure, but we missed out on the mission. A lot of Christians enjoy the pleasure, but there is no dedication. And let me show you a picture of true dedication. True dedication is found in this story in Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, there was a young girl that came into the presence of Jesus that day while Jesus was at the home of this Pharisee. And this young girl came up to Jesus with an alabaster jar. And the scripture tells us that as she came in, she knelt before the Lord, she broke the alabaster jar, poured it all over Jesus, and then she began to anoint the Lord. That is the picture of dedication. You know why? Because the disciples then began to say, why this waste of money, isn't it? They started rebuking the girl. And Jesus said, no, do not rebuke her. Jesus went on to make this statement, she has done a beautiful thing. Or other translation, she has done a good thing. The poor you will always have among you, but she has done a beautiful thing. And then Jesus went on to say, listen to this, wherever the gospel is preached, that which this woman has done will be told in memory of her. Wow. Why is it that wherever the gospel is preached, you got to talk about her? You see, a lot of times we preach a gospel, but we never talk about her. And I think we need to do both. Because as soon as we preach the gospel and get people saved, then it is important to talk about dedication. And so in the same way, when you and I experience God tonight, we're going to experience Him, and there's going to be a strong touch of God in our life tonight, where we're going to just experience His love, His glorious love, His magnanimous love. And then listen for the mission order about fish for your life. And then start living a radical, dedicated life. See, this woman was extremely dedicated because, number one, she came to Jesus. It is customary in those days that women do not turn up at those functions, at those gatherings, because it is against culture. And yet she went against the mores of her day. She went against the culture of her day. You see, women will only be present to serve at the table. But she did. She came in and she became part of their whole celebration. And so that was counter culture. She braved the culture of humanity. She braved the culture of that day to say, I'm going to breach the culture. Because this is what I'm going to do. Because this is my dedication unto the Lord. Not only did she break the culture by coming to Jesus, but she did the second thing. She came and gave something to the Lord. Giving is an extreme act of dedication. That's why it is so important to give financially. It's so important to give your time. It's not just about giving money and say someone else doing. No, it's about giving of your finances, but it's also the giving of your time. So you give your treasure, you give your time. You also give your talent. You got to give your talent, your abilities to serve. Because that's radical dedication. But let me show you the epitome of radical dedication. She didn't just came to Jesus. She didn't just bring a gift to Jesus, but she broke the alabaster jar. You know what's so significant about alabaster jar? You and I think that it's this big jar that we carry around. You know, you and I think that it's like the Coco Chanel or the, you know, the perfume that you carry in your Dollar Tree bag. The true alabaster jar is worn around the body of the woman. She wears it. It is something that is passed down from family. And so every young girl will receive this from the parent on the day of her puberty. And so she carries this with her. She carries it. She wears it. Which means it's very personal to her. Something that she's very intimately aware of. I guess at night before she sleeps, she thinks about... And the only time the woman will break that jar is that she will break it to adorn herself for her husband. Just on that night. So it's a very special gift just for the husband. A one-time experience. So it's very personal. I believe that she knows the jar so well. She probably looked at it, think about the glorious hunk of a man that she's going to get married to. Some of us make the mistake because the next day we find that, oh, we married a beast. That makes you Bella. Bella and the Beast. But she gave something personal. Extreme radical dedication. It's about giving something so personal to Jesus. Not only was the gift a gift that was personal, it was a gift that was precious. The content is so precious because it is passed down from generation to generation. It's a concoction that is known within the family, which is extremely precious. Every family has its own smell, so to speak, its own fragrance. So not only is it personal, but it's precious. Extremely precious. Remember, she will break it just for the one time for her husband. And yet, she gave something so personal, so precious to Christ. That's what it is. That's radical dedication. That's why, you know, when you experience God and you say, I'm going to live for souls, in order to see that happen, you've got to be truly dedicated to the cause. If you're going to see things happen around you. This church, the leadership of this church is dedicated to the cause of God. That's why you are here. And Pastor Sam and the leadership, if they were not dedicated to the cause of souls, then you wouldn't be here today. Yeah, you wouldn't be here. You're here because they were dedicated. Now it's time for us to not only experience God, but to say, God, I'm going to walk in extreme radical dedication. Then you walk into fulfillment. See, fulfillment only comes when you are truly dedicated to the cause. Successful people are not necessarily people of great intelligence. Yeah. If that's the case, then the Fortune 500 guys will all be the most intelligent people in the world. You study their life, you discover lots of them are high school dropouts. They only started having an education later in life. Successful people are not necessarily the most talented people, but they are people who are dedicated to a cause. Terrorists are dedicated to their cause. But the reality is Christians are not necessarily so dedicated to the cause of Christ. What a shame, isn't it? If we truly believe this is the faith, if we truly believe Jesus is the way,
the truth and the life.
Then it calls for extreme dedication to the cause. But we are caught by so many voices around us. That's why, you know, it's like we fulfill our Christian obligation when we come to church or in worship, and then we touch God, or at the altars we touch God, and we think that's good enough. No, I want you to know that's not good enough. God looks down and says, that's not enough. It's not enough. God wants you to walk in fulfillment. That's the plan. That's the plan. The whole game plan is that you walk a fulfilled life. So that when you end your journey on planet Earth, you can say, I fought a good fight of faith. I'm ready. That's it. That's why I told my church board and some of my staff, I said, you know, I want to retire by this age. And I'm dedicated to the cause. I'm thinking of retiring, man. Well, why do I recalibrate a new ministry, man? Because I want to see souls. More souls. Amen. I think God's calling us today to make an extreme dedication. This woman in Mark 14 teaches us that which is personal, that which is precious. Yeah. And so tonight, I'm sure you and I can live that life. Because if you are prepared to do this tonight, to experience Him, yes, experience the greatest pleasure of God over our life. Receive the mission. It says, from this point forth, I will walk a dedicated life. I will be so dedicated. I will cut off the flesh life that impacts me. I will shut off those voices that calls me astray. I'm dedicated to this cause. I want you to know something happens. Something happens. I was sharing at my table this evening, and we were talking about my church structure. You know, I was sharing about my church structure. And then the question was asked, how many of those are salaried staff and all that? And in Trinity, we have 65 pastors. 65. But 15 of those pastors are bivocational, which means I don't pay them a cent. They give their time to serve. And I interview them when I make them bivocational pastor, because I want to ensure, number one, they have a call of God. But number two, I want to ensure that they give their time. Which means the volume of time, the quantum of time, has got to be expressed, got to be seen. And a lot of my bivocational pastors are extremely successful people in their corporation. They get promoted, man, every year. I'm serious. They're so well paid, they keep getting promotion. But there comes a point in time when many of them will reject the promotion. Yeah. Just say, come on. But you know what? If you speak to my bivocational pastors, they'll tell you this. We are not wanting the promotion so that we get more money. We're not wanting the promotion because the promotion means I give lesser time to the church. So they will be prepared not to take the promotion, not to have the higher grade pay, so that they can give that time to church. That's dedication. And I call for those dedications. I'm sure SP can rise as well to the same dedication. Amen. Amen. Some of you not too sure, eh? Will you rise to the same dedication, radical dedication to Christ? Amen. If you are, let's all stand. We're going to come to the altars. You're going to have a great time at the altars, because you're just going to linger and experience God's love. But I'm going to ask you to do this one thing when you're at the altars. Besides God loving you and you experiencing God's touches in your life, ask Papa God, what can I do for you? Ask Papa, do you know something? The greatest joy of every parent, and this is what most parents experience. The child comes up, grabs daddy and hugs daddy and kiss daddy. Oh, you know, and then daddy loves the kid. Most of us as parents will ask the kid, yeah, what can I do for you, isn't it? And that's what Papa God will ask us. What can I do for you? Because He loves us. But it will be wonderful and greater when your child comes up to you, kiss you, hug you, not wanting anything from you, but says to you, what can I do for you, Papa God? It will make your day, isn't it? And I think today, beginning this day, let's give God pleasure. Amen. Let's not just say, God, give me pleasure, but let's give God the greatest pleasure. When He loves us, we love Him, and we ask Him, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you to bring in the greatest number of fishes, souls for your glory? What can I do with my life to create the greatest impact in this world? Amen. Because when you do that, I want you to know heaven smiles at you. And then, when we leave this altar, determine, I'm going to walk that dedicated life. Because at this altar tonight, I'm going to ask you to give something personal. I'm going to ask you to give something precious. I'm not taking an offering, but I'm taking an offering of lives at this altar. So you come to the altar, you love Him, you say, what can I do for you? Receive the mission order, and then give yourself as the most precious and personal sacrifice. Amen. Because that's the dedication of your life. Amen. So we're going to sing One Night with the King. It changes everything. The only way for that to happen is the total giving of yourself. Now the guys, many of us don't understand this concept, but maybe the ladies would understand this concept. That on the wedding night, when a woman gives herself to you, she gives herself totally to you. Men, we tend to dichotomize. We can compartmentalize certain things. But when a woman gives herself to you, she gives everything to you. And so tonight, guys, the girls will be going to do that. But you know what? For you guys, take every compartment out and say, God, I'm giving you everything. Amen. So let's sing this song, and as we sing this song, you come to the altar and let's just touch God tonight.
One night with the King.
Yes, just come.
It changes everything.
Listen here, friends. I don't know about you, but don't let this experience be the same old experiences of the many times that we've come to the altars. Tonight at this altars, determine that this night at the altars will become a life-defining moment for you. This will become a watershed experience for the rest of your life, and and let it be that you can years from now look back and understand that this was the night that changes everything about your life. That will be the most important thing, because then you understand that years from now, this night, when you are here, you're saying, God, thank you for the encounter. But at the same time, this night is the night that you're going to receive from God His mission order. And this night is the night you've given yourself. You've given your precious self. You've given your most personal self. Press in, press in.
One night with the King.
Press in, talk to Him. Talk to Him.
It changes everything.
Lay everything on the line.
Day it is called.
Love Him tonight. And say, Lord, Papa God, what can I do for you? What's the greatest mission that I can do for you?
One moment in your presence.
Oh God, what can I do for you?
And I will never be the same.
Yes.
Night with the King, it changes
downloading right now from heaven. God's downloading from heaven. That's right, fishes. God has placed you where you are for an impact. For souls to be brought in. In the name of Jesus.
It is
God's downloading from heaven.
Forever.
Some of you, God's calling you. God's calling you into the ministry.
yes.
I love you, Lord. And I lift.
Some of you, God's restoring you. Some of you, God's restoring you. Some of you, there is already a reformation. God's reforming your faith. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. That's right. There's a touch of God on some of you right now. God's touching you. I can see the finger of God upon your life right now. God's tapping you on the shoulder and say, yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Some of you, God's putting His finger on you and says, I'm going to make you successful. I'm going to make you prominent. But it's for fishes. Some of you, tonight, listen, give your time, give your treasures, give the talent of your life, give the testimonies of your life. Break the alabaster jar of your life tonight. Break the alabaster jar of your life tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, move among them right now. Move among us tonight by your Spirit. Lay your hands on them. Lord, you are calling them into your presence, into your purpose. Into your purpose. Lord, position them into your purpose. Lord, tonight we come not just for the experience, but we come for your mission. Lord, as the soldiers of God, as we sang earlier on, there is an army that is rising. Let this force receive your mission order. So Lord, we come humbly receiving your mission order for the specific areas of the scope of our lives. Lord, we receive your mission order to do that which is needed in the areas of our work life. Father, some are receiving an individual mission order tonight for something specific. And I pray, Father, right now, as we receive it, let faith arise. Let faith arise. Let courage arise. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for courage. I pray for courage right now. I pray for courage. I pray for an impartation of courage to come into this ones. In the name of Jesus. Oh Father, tonight we come before you. Continue to move among us, sweet Spirit of God. Continue to draw us into your presence. Continue to do the restorative work and the reformative work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Reform us, that we become reformers for your glory. Reform us, that we will become your transformation, your transformers in this world that we live in. So Father, we want to see fulfillment take place in our lives. We do not want to live lives that yield no results, purposeless life. We do not want to live life of accident, but we want to live life that are intentional. Life that will yield the fruits that you may be, that you may take pleasure in. And so come by the Spirit of God right now. Lord, we give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you. We give our life to you. We give our ambition to you. Lord, we don't want to hold on to our ambition, but we give it to you. Surrender to him. Surrender to him. Let God do something out of it tonight. Surrender your life to him. That's right. Surrender your life to him tonight. Jesus. That's right. Let it go. Let it go. Surrender the wrong relationships to the Lord. Come on. Let it go. Don't hold on to it. God knows better for you. Let it go. Jesus. Jesus, as painful as it is, we let it go. Jesus. Spirit of God, receive this life. Receive this life. Kurabashatarabas. Those of you that have a sense of God's touch in your life, that you sense that you're going to step in full-time ministry. It may not be now, but sometime in the future. There's just this sense, as the mission order of God came into your life, you're so personal that you know God's calling you into the ministry, into full-time capacity. I'm going to ask you to stand. Yeah. If you feel so, just stand. That's right. Don't be afraid. Standing, give yourself totally to him. There's nothing to be concerned nor worry about. God will meet your needs. God will meet your family in a very special way. Because the church is going to continue to grow. And God will call you to join the full-time team. Some of you, God will send you through SP to Solomon Porch. God will send you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we hear the call of the Spirit upon these ones. You have been tugging at their hearts. Lord, as they have said, Papa, what can I do for you? They have heard your voice of the Spirit. And so, Lord, they are standing tonight. Take them, Spirit of God. Receive this for your very own. Thank you, Jesus. as of you standing after this service, somehow let Pastor Sam know that you have made this commitment. And it may not be this year, may not be next year, it could be a few years from now, because God may want you to stay in a marketplace for a certain time, for a certain season. Like what Pastor Ong says, there's a difference between a time and a season. Some of you, it's your time now, but some of you could be at the right season. God will bring you into His team. Thank you, Jesus. Father, the rest of us, we lay our time, we lay our lives, we lay our treasures, our finances before you. Lord, as we are here at this altar, I thank you, Father, that these here will sow into the kingdom for the greatest impact that is to come. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Father, from this night forth, as they walk out of this place, let them walk with purpose. Let them walk with intention. Let them live lives that will be positioned by you for your glory. We don't live for ourselves no more, but we live for you. So, Father, thank you. Thank you. Because of this, Father, we believe that the lost will come here shouting, "Jesus is Lord." Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we believe through this act of dedication tonight, miracles will unfold in SP and the lost will come shouting, "Jesus is Lord." So, Father, I thank you. Commit this into your hand in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask Titus to maybe bring the projector. I want to teach you this song in closing tonight. Let's do hear the call of the Spirit. Let's learn this. It's a song that will cause you to understand what your soul purpose is all about. It's a song of revival. It's a song of souls. Amen. Hallelujah. If you believe it, after hearing one time, sing it with us. Let this song, let this, you see, friends, you become what you sing. You will become what you sing. Amen. Amen. We hear the call of the Spirit.
We hear the call of the Spirit.
Stepping out in faith.
We're stepping out in faith.
We run the race.
We run the race with your fire.
We will carry your flame.
We will carry your flame. We hear the call. We hear the call of your Spirit. We're stepping out.
Sight to the blind,
sight to the blind. Proclaim to the captives freedom they'll find. We'll see miracles take place right here where we are. The lost come shouting, "Jesus, your Lord. Stepping out in faith, we'll run the races with your fire. We will carry your flame. We'll bring healing to the nations.
that cast freedom.
Freedom they'll find.
We'll see miracles.
We'll see miracles take place.
Right here.
Right here where we are. The lost come shouting. Jesus, your Lord. Nations,
sight to the blind,
proclaim to the captives,
freedom,
freedom they'll find.
We'll see miracles.
We'll see miracles take place.
Can you believe it, friends?
Right here where we are, the lost come shouting, Jesus, your Lord. Oh, we will bring, we'll bring healing to the nations. Blind, proclaim to the captives freedom they'll find. We'll see miracles take place right here where we are. The lost come shouting, Jesus your Lord.
Is this what you want to see? Is this what you want to see? Is this what you want to do for Papa God? I tell you, church, let me say here, Solomon Porch, if you believe this, if you believe what you are singing, it will radically transform your life. You will not go back to normal fishing. You will end up fishing men and women for Jesus. You will end up you being sent to the nation because you say, I want to bring healing to the nations. Many nations needs to be healed. You will become God's healing agent. Amen. Because if you believe this song, you're going to bring sight to the blind. Because many do not see, many do not know, but you're going to be God's instrument. Amen. If you believe this and you say, I want to do this for Papa God, I want you to know, church, you're going to see miracles take place right here, right here, in every weekend services, in every prayer meeting that Solomon Porch is going to have. You're going to see miracles take place. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's sing it. We'll bring healing to the nation.
We'll bring healing to the nation.
Sight to the blind.
Sight to the blind. Proclaim to the captives
freedom.
Freedom they'll find. We'll see miracles take place
right here.
Right here where we are.
The lost come shouting.
The lost come and shouting. Jesus, your Lord. Oh, Lord.
We hear the call.
We hear the call of the Spirit.
Stepping out in faith, that's right.
We're stepping out in faith.
That's right, radical dedication is about faith.
We'll run the race with your fire.
We will carry your flame.
We will carry your flame. We'll sing healing to the nations.
Yes.
Sight to the blind. Proclaim to the captives
freedom.
Freedom they'll find.
We'll see miracles take place right here.
Right here where we are. The lost come shouting, Jesus, your Lord.
Come on, sing it. We'll bring healing.
We'll bring healing to the nation.
That's the same way.
Sight to the blind. Proclaim to the captives freedom they'll find.
We see miracles.
We'll see miracles take place
right here
where we are. The lost.
The lost come shouting.
The lost come shouting.
That's right, the lost come shouting. Let it be seen.
The lost come shouting.
Jesus.
Jesus, your Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Don. Let's close our eyes. Let's kind of actualize a little bit and each of us kind of take a step of faith as well. You know, Pastor Dom tonight said if we just brought one person and So hopefully there's someone that's on your heart right now. Someone that you've been ministering to already. Someone that you've been praying for. And let's just pray breakthrough prayers tonight. I want you to just take, don't focus so much. Just take that one person, right? One at a time. And commit that one person to the Lord. It could be your dad. It could be your mom, your uncle. It could be your best friend in school. It could be your colleague or the children that you teach. And what, watch what God's going to do tonight. As you just commit that one person, this is going to change the way you pray, and it's going to change the way that you minister, because God's going to put His heart in your heart. And you're going to feel what He feels. And just a longing, I mean, just the incredible longing of God. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The father just looked, just waited and waited and waited. It's not just the son to come back in terms of a Christian falling. It really is that we're all prodigals. God made all of us, Christian, non-Christian. We all belong to Him. And He's going to use you to call them back. And you're going to feel Father God's heart. And so just focus on that one. Just focus on that one tonight. And just begin to give that person to the Lord in prayer right now. Just commit that one person to God. And let the Spirit of God just flow through you. As you pray, your heart just gets softer and softer. And then you become the conduit and the channel of His heart. Don't worry about what you should say. Don't worry about the next time you meet. Just focus right here on just lifting up that one person. And He'll give you everything you need to succeed. Let's cry out to God, church. Let's cry out to God. Is right there. Keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in to breakthrough right now.
Release, God.
Lord, take the scales off the eyes, Lord. Now let us spit up. Some of you right now, it's a real battle because the enemy's got your ear. He says, keep saying, you're ineffective, you're a hypocrite. How can you think like this? You cast that aside. Just cast that aside. Right, we don't look up to the enemy. Remember, he's under our feet. Put him under our feet. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We break every lie from the pit of hell.
Colleagues, bosses, students, God, in the name of Jesus.
lot of times when we think about like praying for China and things like that, it just becomes such an overwhelming task. Listen, don't worry about that. One at a time. I want to ask you, every single day, commit yourself every single day to pray for one person for their salvation. Every day, fix yourself on one person every day. That's how this world is going to be won, one at a time. Right now, just do that right now in your prayer. Just commit yourself. Lord, I'm going to commit myself. Please remind me as I pray. Lord, I'm just going to commit to pray for one person every day for their soul. One person. And your intercession is going to change. Lord, give me the strength one at a time, God. One at a time. One by one.
You know, guys, as Pastor Sam kind of exhorted us, if you take this commitment seriously, I want to guarantee you, money back guarantee, I will close shop. If it doesn't happen, I will just shut down my faith. That's how serious it is. Because I see an explosion. I see an explosion of great growth. Yeah. I see an explosion of great growth. You see, you guys are not just called to Hong Kong. You guys are called to the world. But something must happen right now in Hong Kong. Then it will then begins to be reflected all over. So I see an explosion. And if you seriously make this commitment, the explosion's going to come. Because that's what the Spirit of God says. The explosion's going to come. You're going to see many more nationalities in this church of all kinds.
Last item. Give me a little liberty here, okay? Say okay. This is something that's been on my heart for a little while, right? And I think, yes, God will explain. You know me. I'm not really all that into church growth. Sorry, Pidam. Right? I'm with you, right? But it's not really like top of my list. Maybe I need to repent or something. I don't know. But one thing I do know, I know God is going to expand us. It's just natural. But as far as the expansion in these things, you know, there's a quote. Have you heard that quote? The light that shines the farthest shines brightest at home. And the manifestation of that is one thing that as a community, I think we have to learn to be more like a community. You know, SP, we're a little cliquish. And it's natural because, you know, we've been around and we're friends and everything like that. But if we're really talking about this expansion, you know, this outward, it's going to start inward first. And so, I'm not going to really share this on Sunday, right? I'm preaching to the choir here, right? You guys that came out to this place. I want to just really ask you and encourage you, not necessarily to be nicer, even though that's good, right? You know how you get a charismatic church to be seeker sensitive? Just be nice. I mean, that's really how it works. But I want you to just care for people, especially people that are new. You know, let your arms reach out a little bit more and be a little bit more embracing. Don't just hang out with who all you hang out all the time with. You know, don't just go back to your own little cliques and little groups. We used to have, remember we talked about SPDNA? We used to have this thing at church, and all the leaders know, but it hasn't been filtered down in a while. But we used to have this 5-minute rule, right? And it was really simple. We just said, as soon as the service is over, don't talk to anyone that you know. 5 minutes, first 5 minutes, go talk to someone you don't know and build a friendship. And I think if we do that, I mean, this is going to be organic growth anyway, right? But it's more really, it's the community at work together. And every church has its challenge. I'm sure Trinity has its challenge. I mean, you guys are humongous. You guys must have huge challenges. You know, big church, big problems, I know, right? and things. And so, but I mean, I really want to challenge you, because I know we've had these talks in the past, and some of you guys are like, well, you know, these are my friends, and you know, I don't see them all week long. You'll see them after 5 minutes. Okay? I mean, it's really a simple thing, but it really does something. You know, and really the people that stay are just, they're just tough. Really. People, they're just tougher. Can I encourage you guys to go beyond a little bit? Right? Outside of your sphere of influence, and just absorb. Be loving. Be welcoming. You know, we changed, I don't know if strategically, we changed our welcoming ministry. We don't use it too well. We actually see the word hospitality now. Because welcoming is actually the job of every member of the church. Not just the guys that pass you the bulletin and pass you a Bible and take up the offering. Welcome is a job of every member of the church. Hospitality is maybe a small group of people that do that. And I mean, really, I mean, this is from my heart. Can I invite you to be more welcoming? You know, the people that come and then you embrace. You remember the first time you came? It was kind of scary, wasn't it? Right? And remember that and go share with somebody.
Now, let me just say here, we're not in the church growth, but where there is life, there will be growth. But as soon as growth begins, let me just say, I say this to Trinitarians all the time. When and as the church grows bigger, we've got to get smaller. Now that means, number one, your house church is very important. But number two, what it means to get smaller means you need to look out for people who are new and be inclusive in this sense. Go to them, because you got to get smaller. Because when they come in, and as soon as you start growing bigger, they're going to be lost in the cracks. So the only way for them to experience this community of faith, you got to get smaller. That's basically what Pastor Sam is saying. That's how I said it. In Trinity, you got to get smaller into groups. Get to know more people. Amen. And I think when that happens, I tell you, God will use your church to be a reflection to many. Yeah, because that's the glory of God.
Amen. That's good. That's why he gets the big bucks. Says it well. Let's pray a little bit. If you're here today, and let's just be very, very honest, okay? Because I want to right a wrong. If you're here today and you've been part of this church, and for SP Beijing, you use in your church context, okay? But it's Solomon's Porch, and you've been here, and you do feel very lonely. It doesn't matter how long you've been here. It really doesn't matter. I mean, honest to goodness, that you've been part of this church for a season of time, and you feel deep down, you feel lonely. You feel alone. That you feel kind of neglected. Maybe even abandoned a little bit. And you may be serving in 4 or 5 different ministries. Sometimes that really doesn't matter. But I'm talking about deep down in the core. And so that's when Pastor Ong mentions and he says, oh, you got to commit to the church. Sometimes it's a little uneasy for you. I understand. It's not an excuse, but I understand. We want to right a wrong tonight. And I'm going to ask you to do a very, very courageous thing. And all eyes closed. Can you just lift your hands in the air? Just lift them high, both hands, and just kind of surrender to God. It's okay. And I want to say this as a senior leader of this church, of this movement. And I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive us for neglecting you? Will you forgive us for tossing you to the side sometimes and making you feel invisible and not cherishing you in the way that you should be? Would you find it in your heart and some grace to give us another chance. Really asking for your forgiveness. And then you guys, with your hands up, you guys just stay there. I'm calling SPers now. I want you to open your eyes. I want you to look around. And I want you to find these people, our brothers and sisters, that feel a little lost and neglected, and just love on them right now. There's some SP Beijing people, you had your arms up. Keep your hands up, guys. Come on. We just want to love on you right now. And SP Beijing people, there's some SP, you guys go attack. And let's just love on them. Let's just pray for them. I feel like for some of you guys that your arms up, there's a lot of pent up stuff inside. Just release it. Just release that. Let's pray for one another. And if you're praying, you ask them to forgive you as well. The Bible says when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. I'll add a different translation or my point. When one member is lonely, all the members are also lonely. When one member feels neglected, all the members are neglected. We are part of one another. And let's just love on our friends right now. Lord, let forgiveness and grace and mercy flow.
You know, God's healing, God's bringing restoration, reformation in relationships. And I think this is also a good setting for us to do something else as well. Pastor Sam mentioned, I think 2 nights ago, that he's also been hurt, you know, over some different issues in church. And sometimes as people in the church, I have my fair share of hate mails. Yeah, they're sent to me and all that. But I think as a congregation right here, I think as we're coming together to bring healing and wholeness for each other, let's not forget the shepherd. Because the shepherd has also been hurt by the sheep. Amen. And I think it's good for us to come. And this is going to take courage. Listen here. This is going to take courage. Because I'm not sure whether you are here and you are part of those groups that may have said some things. Maybe you are one of those that Pastor Sam really relied on, and you are one of the last person, the closest to him, and you should know better. But somehow, whatever he is doing for the church has been misunderstood. And you have misunderstood what is his intentions, or maybe you misunderstood the methodology of how it ought to be done. And as a result, you know, and it's okay that we don't, you know, I'm not saying that everybody has to agree with everything, but there's a right way of disagreeing. But sometimes the disagreement that we have takes on a different form that becomes sinister, that becomes, in a sense, Jezebelic, and we have allowed that to happen in our life. And tonight, to break that so that healing, wholeness, and life and growth can take place. If you are here tonight, I'm going to ask you to come to Pastor Sam, stand with him, love him. Yeah, stand with Lisa as well. I'm just going to take this liberty. I mean, Sam doesn't know about this, but it's going to take courage. So if you are here tonight and you're one of those, then I'm going to ask you to come and stand and love him, hug him, let him know that you love him. Come on. Come on, give God a big hand as these folks come. Anybody else? I'm going to ask the rest of you to surround them right now, because the bond of peace is the greatest bond that the folks out there will recognize. The scripture says, if you have love for one another, then the world will know that you are my disciples. Amen. Come on, as you hug Pastor Sam, pray for him right now. Pray for him. Those of you that have said words against him, I want you to just apologize to him and bless him tonight. Bless your shepherd. Bless your leader. For the Lord is pleased, and he smiles upon you. The pleasure of the Lord is here tonight, and the Lord takes deep pleasure. Because of all that has happened tonight, great transformation will begin in this body. Because of that which has happened tonight, the transactions of lives, the bond of peace and the unity of the brethren, the incredible unity that will come forth from this will become a force that the world will reckon with, and that the world will then know that you are truly disciples of Christ, and they will come running into this place because they seek the same. Father, tonight, thank you that you have sealed something in the heavenlies. The relationship among us as the people of God, and the relationship between the people of God with the shepherd of God. Thank you, Lord, for sealing all this. And from this point forth, let the army of God march in synchronized beat and rhythm, so that out comes a united force, a united voice, calling to the world that Jesus is the Son of God. And so, Lord, tonight we declare Jesus is the Lord of this house. Jesus is the Lord of this body. So thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. And I'm going to ask Pastor Sam to pray right now, because this is important.
Father, we just thank you for this family, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that my wife and I, Lord, and our kids, that we get to spend our life here in Hong Kong, Lord. That we get to build your church, Lord God. And that you brought so many, God, incredible, incredible people this way. We are so unworthy, God. We are so unworthy, Jesus. And so help us, God, to be good stewards of all that you give to us, Lord. The people and the resources, God. Lord, give us wisdom, Father. Help us to lead this church in faith, God. Lord, help every member, God, to play their part in it as well. Lord, as we come together to see your kingdom come, your will be done. God, in Hong Kong, China, North Korea, Cambodia, God, Bhutan, Vietnam, Laos, God. God, Myanmar, Lord, all over Asia, God, Japan, Taiwan. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe upon us, Lord. We humble ourselves, God, and we've always said this from day one, God. Are you going to use somebody, Lord? You might as well use us. Use this church, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.